Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number three of Fantasy Sports Today. We've been with you all morning. Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz. And George, I think it is time we play a little bit of what if. Two guys that we have both talked about in terms of could they have landing spots. One of them retired. We were just talking about him, DeMarco Murray. The other one, Dez Bryant. He's setting up his meetings. And if he lands in, if one of, I'm going to pick Murray for Washington, and we'll do a Dez Bryant spot and see where you think they might get drafted, or where you think you would be okay drafting this player if they end up in a certain location. So let's go with DeMarco. And if DeMarco, what if DeMarco went to the Redskins? Would you rather have DeMarco Murray or Royce Freeman?
All right. So now let's first say we've heard nothing about Murray going there. We're just playing a game here in case Murray decides to come out of retirement and go to Washington. Personally, I think he would come out, but not for the Reds, because I think he'd only come out for at least a playoff team, maybe even a Super Bowl team. So I don't think he's going to do it for Washington. But let's say I'm wrong, and he does. He's certainly better than Kelly and Perrine. I think, assuming he's in shape, I think he'd be the starter. He'd have to sign soon, but I think he'd be the starter there. Freeman, Denver. I think they're going to try and play, I mentioned before about a team that might play a good defense. Let's win 20 to 17 games, not let our quarterback make mistakes. I was pretty much stating Denver there. That's what I think they're going to try and do there. Not let Keenan make mistakes, run the ball. Offensive line's not great, but it's not poor. Freeman, that's a tough one. I'll got Booker there as well. So I'm going to go Freeman there. Although one thing that will hit in the back of my mind over and over again, if Murray were to sign at Washington, he'll be the goal line guy. It's what he's always excelled at, something he's good at. So I wouldn't worry about him losing touches there, but I think there would be more of a three-man committee there, and he's still got Thompson there to catch the ball. I'll go with Freeman. I'll go with the guy who's playing now.
All right, but it seems maybe it's a little bit close. Let me just throw out two more guys.
Yeah, I don't love Freeman.
Let me just throw out two more guys, and then I'll move towards the other direction. Jay Ajayi, Lamar Miller. Would you take Murray and Washington over either of those guys?
Boy, tough. That's a tough situation in Philadelphia. I mean, got Corey Clement. Darren Sproles is back. I don't know what Jay Ajayi's role is. Are they going to let him run the ball, be the ball, a 20-20 guy? Sproles catch the ball in the backfield. Clement be the goal line guy. Is it reversed? Is it just, hey, the hot guy? I love Philadelphia. I love what they've got there. I think it's a very good offense, going to score a lot of points. I'm close here. I'm going to Ajayi, though. I think it's the offense. They're going to score a truckload of points. I don't like Lamar Miller. I don't. I don't think he's going to get much of anything here. I think if Foreman was healthy, he might have the job. I'll roll with dice and give me Murray here.
Yeah, okay. So the reason why I am mentioning those guys is because those are all guys that are currently RB2s. Royce Freeman is at 20. Again, this is on Fantasy Football Calculator's PPR rankings. We got Royce Freeman at 24, Ajayi's at 20, and Lamar Miller is at 22. Now, I think that I could see you taking Murray over a couple of these guys that are just outside of that RB2 range. And then some of them I know for sure because of how murky their situations are. So I'll throw out three names to you. And you let me know if Murray, who Murray would fall in front of, behind, and so forth. Actually, I'll give you four names because they're all lumped nice together. Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, Rashad Penny, and Kerryon Johnson. Those four guys right now, they're just outside that RB2 range. If you have DeMarco Murray in Washington, where would he land amongst those guys?
I'll take him ahead of Penny. I think that's the easy one there because I don't trust the Seattle offensive line. Carson's a starter right now. You know, I mean, I guess you could argue that not much of a passing game could help the running game there, but I think that's actually a detriment because the players playing close to the line of scrimmage. So, but I'll definitely take Murray over Penny. I do not like playing the New England guessing game whatsoever. Yeah, I'm not. It's rare. I can count on one hand the amount of times over the past, I don't know, 10 years that I've drafted a New England running back in any kind of value spot. And this will be another year like that. I'm not taking anybody. So I will take Murray over Burkhead because I just won't deal with New England. Because, you know, I know it's going to happen. Oh, I start Burkhead. Oh, guess what? This was it's a Jeremy Hill week for crying out loud. And that's the guy they go with. You know, I'm just not going to play that game. You know, Sony Michel comes back. It's a Sony Michel week. And I know it's going to happen. And I'm going to be upset about it because I guessed wrong. So I'm not going to do it. No, thank you. So I'll take Murray over him. I'm going to take Deion Lewis over Murray, by the way. However,
yeah.
Tennessee is another team. Very good defense. The offense is going to have the ball a lot. They're not a throwing team. You know, they can run the ball with Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. I think there's enough room for both or enough touches to go around for both backs. Not afraid of either one. I'd rather have Henry because I think he's the touchdown guy, and he'll get his smattering of touches as well. But I'll certainly take Lewis over to DeMarco Murray here. Kerryon Johnson, that's a tough one because there are so many cooks in the kitchen for the Detroit Lions. Yes, he had a nice game in his debut in week one. What exactly is the role for everybody here? All right, is LeGarrette Blount the short yardage guy, which means no touchdowns for Kerryon Johnson? Theo Riddick, the pass-catching guy, so not much receptions for Kerryon Johnson. That makes him the runner, 20-20 guy. I mean, there's value there, but what's his upside then? I mean, you think about it, what is his upside? We're talking, upside, 8 touchdowns, 900 yards. So in reality, he's going to get 4 to 6 touchdowns because he has to run in 18-yard scores or 60-yard scores and 700 yards. That's my problem. I think Kerryon Johnson's a very good back. And if one of these other guys wasn't there, I'd be so much more excited about him in Detroit. But they're all there. I didn't even mention Amir Abdullah, who's going to get some time as well. I would take DeMarco Murray over Johnson if he ended up being the starter in Washington because of that reason. I think Johnson's a better back at this point in their careers, but there's just too many cooks in the kitchen in Detroit that are going to take away some of his playing time. And it's the touchdowns that bother me the most, that I think Blount's going to be the guy at the goal line.
And I think that's just something to – and look, we're playing a what-if game here. And as you mentioned, there's been no reports at all that Washington is going to decide to reach out to DeMarco Murray. It's not like we've said, oh, DeMarco Murray's sniffing around teams. It's just kind of this feeling that, you know, we both agree that we're not really super sold that his playing days are numbered. But to give an idea, DeMarco Murray, if he comes back, say lands with a team like Washington, you could see him getting fringe RB2 talk. Pretty comfortably, though, going to probably slot in as an RB3. Now, for Dez Bryant, here's a situation. The reason why he's, this kind of scenario is on my mind is it's something that I actually was talking about yesterday with Mike because of the Deion Kane injury. For those that don't know, Deion Kane, 6th-round pick out of Clemson, drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, was having a terrific training camp. And Deion Kane had a pedigree entering last year's college football season to where he was getting talked about not only as a potential first-round pick, but possibly the first wide receiver off the board. Now, it did not pan out that way, as you could see. But then again, he was starting to show some things in Indianapolis. Again, the ACL injury pops its ugly head, just like it did in Washington here. That's why we're talking about it. And Deion Kane's now going to be out for the season. Now, there is a big difference between the expectations for Geis and the expectations for Deion Kane. The reason why I think both of the scenarios fits, though, is the need for a running back in Washington is as great as the need for a number two wide receiver in Indianapolis. I mean, your diehards, I think, would struggle to give you the first three wide receivers on that football team. You know, I mean, we're talking about Ryan Grant now as the number two wide receiver in an Indianapolis Colts offense that's getting Andrew Luck back. As we know, as a fantasy community, we're very excited to see Andrew Luck come back. And now, you know, you said that you've been adding a lot of T.Y. Hilton. You're getting some value there. And there are people that feel really good about that. You know, in my best ball shares, Jack Doyle is a tight end that I own a ton of. I mean, and I'm excited about that as well. But he's not going to only throw the football to two guys. And if someone like Dez Bryant landed in Indianapolis, even if Deion Kane wasn't hurt, but now even more so, they could really use a Dez Bryant. And one of the things about that tweet from Dez said that he's going to now open up to meetings. And maybe all things are pointing in the direction of it being the Cleveland Browns. But I do think that the Indianapolis Colts should give him a call. And allow me to continue with this, George, just quick. Would you be higher on Dez if he was in Cleveland or Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
Right. That's what I figured. Okay. So, similar game. If Dez Bryant ended in Indianapolis, and no, we've not heard the talks, but it does kind of make sense. There's a need there. There's talent there. If Dez Bryant lands up as a Colt, let me put him in this type of range to begin. Alshon Jeffrey, Chris Hogan, Marvin Jones, Corey Davis. Those are four guys that are just outside that wide receiver two conversation. Any competition there?
Okay, and this was Dez as a Colt or a Brown?
As a Colt. We're gonna go as far as him being a Colt because it's a situation that I think he is more valuable in.
All right. First off, let me say that Corey Parson. Now, Corey Parson and I we're both Cowboy fans, and we've both discussed Dez a lot on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which is on after this show from 12 to 2, and I'm sure we'll discuss it again today. And we both have actually brought up Indianapolis as the perfect place. This is before the injury to Deion Kane, by the way. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks,
yeah,
that this would be the perfect place for him. I mean, because Dez seems to want a make good contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants. That's what he said he wanted. He wants to make good, one-year deal, go back in the free agent marketplace next year, get the big contract. It's not going to happen. He's not that player anymore, but that's what he wants. So he's not like limiting himself to a Super Bowl team or anything like that. You know, he wants to make good. Can you make any better than Indianapolis? You'd be the pure number two. You got Andrew Luck coming back. I mean, this makes all the sense in the world. But it's funny, we've heard no rumors here. None. You know, which it makes me wonder one of two things. Did Dez not want to go there because he wasn't sure about Andrew Luck, or did Indianapolis just want nothing to do with Dez?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you wonder which one of these was going on here. Now, let's say he does. He signs there this week. He's not the same player he used to be. He's lost a step and a half. He's not the greatest route runner. You know, so he had to learn a whole new system. All this would concern me. I'm taking Jeffrey over him. I'm taking Jones over. I like Marvin Jones a lot with Matthew Stafford. So I'm taking Jeffrey and Jones over him. It's Hogan and Davis where it comes down to, you know, what do you want to believe with Dez? You know, and I got to take the fandom out for me, you know, and I was a big Dez guy. I like Dez a lot. You got to take the fandom out here. Hogan has trouble staying healthy, but does have some chemistry with Brady. Davis, is this his breakout year? Yeah, but they're not going to be a big-time passing team anyway. Bottom line is I would take Dez over both those guys. It's close with Hogan, not as close to me with Davis. Because I think at the very least, once they get inside that red zone, we know what Dez does well, the jump ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be a big part of it. He'll play on a fast turf in Indianapolis, which is good for him, for a guy of his size, his speed. Luck is coming back. I honestly think this makes too much sense not to happen in the NFL. Yeah. I don't think it will because we've heard nothing about it, but this really makes too much sense. I don't know why Indianapolis hasn't contacted him. You know, I don't know why other teams haven't contacted him. It makes me wonder, Kev. I mean, what's Dez's reputation?
Yeah.
A locker room problem. I think this may be going around the NFL, too, and teams just don't want to deal with this, whether it's true or not. I mean, Dez went on that little Twitter tirade against the Cowboys. That was stupid of him. He should have never done that. True or not, doesn't matter. He shouldn't have done that. Because, oh God, he's doing this already? He was bringing up things that happened in the locker room with coaches? Oh, we're not dealing with this. You know, I think that was bad. Very ill timing of him. You know, and not wise at all. I think that might have killed some options here. He has an option in Cleveland now because of Josh Gordon. We don't know when he's coming back. Right? Callaway now got cited for the marijuana use. And I love that, by the way. You know, Callaway got cited for it, they found marijuana in his car. Oh, it's not mine. Cleveland, oh, we believe him. How nice of you. Your players are always believable when it's your guys. When it's not your guys, it's, you know, throw the book at them. So I just find that hilarious. And they traded Coleman. So, you know, they need some help there as well. But if you're Dez, if you had a choice between Indianapolis and Cleveland, we all assume Gordon's coming back eventually, right? You got Jarvis Landry there. You're no better than third on the depth chart, man. In Indianapolis, you are number two. I mean, I think it makes too much sense. I assume his agent's probably already contacted him in Indianapolis. But this really, I'll say it again, it makes too much sense not to happen.
And that's the reason why I mention it. Really, I know the Cleveland links are there, but I am way more interested in him as an Indianapolis Colt. I mean, you really could start to talk fringe wide receiver two. He probably comfortably lands in that wide receiver three range because he ends up there. 90 plus targets from Andrew Luck? I'm interested in that. And it's, yeah, Dez isn't the same guy, but there's still some stuff to like. We've been all over the place today, but that's okay. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to wrap up that Vikings-Broncos game, talk about those running backs, maybe talk a little defense as well, a little fantasy IDP maybe. That's next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are listening to Fantasy Sports Today. And I just quickly want to let you know about this little ad read I have that I pulled up the wrong one, so now I'm stalling for time. Here we go. If you enjoy playing, thank you. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. It's all about you. So go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag using promo code FNTSY. George, on the Broncos side of things, some people were excited about Chad Kelly, and nobody liked what they saw from Paxton Lynch, but really that's just the backup debate for who is ever behind Case Keenum. The more interesting thing, Royce Freeman and Devontae Booker. Now, we didn't see a lot of either guy. Booker got the start, but was unencouraging. While Royce Freeman had a long run for 23 yards, scored a touchdown, and totaled 38 yards on the ground with four carries. So that popped, I think, a little bit. But it is interesting because Booker got the start. But when you compare the ADPs for these two guys, there's a huge gap where Royce Freeman is going as the 24th running back off the board in PPR, and Devonta Booker is going off as the 48th running back. Are you okay with that?
I'd rather have Freeman as well. That's who I would draft. I don't have shares of either one yet, but if I had to make a choice, it would be Freeman. Booker getting the start, you know, I always wonder is that just the all right, he's the veteran, he's getting the start. You know, paying homage sort of to the veteran guy. So that doesn't bother me. What does concern me somewhat is I wonder, and this goes for all these running backs, I wonder how much more we're going to see of any of these guys in the preseason because of what happened to Darius Geis. Teams are going to be like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we starting our running? Well, I don't want to risk an ACL injury or a major injury for any of my players, especially running backs. So I think it's going to be very hard to judge now because even if they do play, it'll be a smattering. You know, you're not going to see much of Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, but we don't care about that because we know those guys. You know, but these other young rookies, the Freemans of the world, Kerryon Johnson, I just wonder, after seeing what happened to Washington, where you lost this guy now for the year, and we all know ACLs are the new, it's amazing, for the past 5 years, how many of these players are tearing their ACLs. It's gonna be, we're not going to see them enough to make true judgments here. So I'm not making, like I said, the fact that Booker started over Freeman, I think that's just, you know, like I said, paying homage to the veteran there. I think this could be somewhat of a committee going into the season. I think Freeman does pull away eventually. The offensive line is okay. It's not terrible and certainly not great. It's okay. So it's not going to certainly lead to a big season here. But I think Denver is going to want to run the ball. And I think they're going to want to run the ball quite often to put the, you know, defense will play well enough to win. But I think Denver's also in a tough spot here because, you know, you're built really to throw the ball. You know, Demaryius Thomas, good receiver. Manuel Sanders, good receiver. So much hype now going about how well Cortland Sutton is playing during the camp and the preseason. So they're, you know, you wonder if they're going to be tempted to throw the ball more often because of that. But because of I expect to see them be playing close games, and Case Keenum, I don't think they truly trust him yet. I think they're going to try and run the ball quite often. I said I'd rather have Freeman over Booker, Kev. But that being said, we're talking the low-end running back three, running back four category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that it did pop to me that currently their depth chart would indicate Booker's the guy, but nobody is buying it. And I think with reason, but maybe, you know, if you are drafting right now and you can get Booker late, maybe it is worth that gamble that the Broncos try and get cute and have Booker be the guy here. I just thought that it was something to take note of. I wanted, before we close the book on this game, the Vikings and the Broncos are two of the better defenses in football. They were both top 10 defenses last year. They will both be top 10 defenses drafted. As far as IDP go, I mean, you got Von Miller, Harrison Smith, these guys that are impactful. In terms of that, we were just talking a little bit off air, and I want to just carry the conversation over in terms of, you know, With fantasy, we are continuing to evolve in the way the game is played. You're hearing a lot more conversation about getting kickers out of there. Could not agree more. It's a complete guessing game. Greg Zuerlein was on the highest percentage of playoff teams last year. That's a complete joke. Nobody was said, oh, Greg Zuerlein's going to have some big breakout season. We don't need that. Another thing that, you know, you were talking about is just Herb Superflex or two QB leagues, and I think that there's some great points to be made of that. I also think that people kind of feel like the defenses are a bit played out. There's a lot of leagues that are moving off drafting defenses. We're seeing that in a lot of places. But there's also equally people starting to include IDP. So I kind of just want to toss it over to you. And you're getting ready to release an article that will be featured on the exclusive Edge package over at rotoexperts.com. So be on the lookout over there to check that out. About kind of, you know, the direction that this could be moving in terms of team defense versus IDP.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of IDP leagues. You know, I just think it's kind of silly that we ignore defenses. I ignore defensive players, I guess. We don't ignore starting pitching in baseball, goaltending in hockey. There are categories for defense in basketball, steals, rebounds. You know, but why do we ignore it so much in football, which is just a team defense? It bothers me. And you can put all these three into one. Quarterbacks, defenses, kickers. It bothers me when we tell you, wait on the quarterback till round 8. Draft your kicker in round 16. Draft your defense one round before that in round 15. There's no strategy there. There's just none. And I think that should be changed. You know, in regards to defenses, you know, I think I was talking with Fantasy Maestro on and Chris Mitchell from Roto Experts on my Twitter during the show. And I think it was Chris who put up a valid point. To make IDPs worthwhile, defensive players, yes, you would have to draft, you know, 7, 8, 9 of them, you know, to make them equivalent, or else everybody has an all-star team. And he's right. You know, if you start off small, and I'm also a proponent of this. If you're going to start an IDP league and your league's having problems, start off small. Draft one linebacker, one defensive lineman, one secondary player. If you do that, everybody has an all-pro. It's not going to change your league all that much because everyone's going to have a great guy, but you get a taste of it. And it's a learning experience. You know, 2 years down the line, next year, whatever it is, then you can go deeper and draft what really you should be doing, 3 to 4 linebackers, 2 to 3 defensive linemen, 2 to 3 secondary players, and you'll get a better smattering. You know, defensive players should be drafted almost on the equivalent of offensive players. If you're starting 9 offensive players, you should be starting 7, 8, 9 defensive players. In my biggest IDP league, which is an industry league, we actually start more IDPs than we do offense. It's 11 to 9. It's just the way it works out. And it's a fantastic league. It's a fun league to play in. I don't know why we ignore the position. I truly don't. Once again, you bring in more strategy into the game. You know, and then also it sort of eliminates the people complaining about, oh, I didn't get the first overall pick. Granted, you still want Todd Gurley, but if you add IDPs, you're adding more players into the player pool who could be drafted then. Same thing with Superflex. You know, if you're playing with a second quarterback, you know, now quarterbacks can be drafted in the first round. It spreads it out. So now whoever gets the first, second, third overall picks don't have as big an advantage over everybody. So I think IDP should be used. Like I said, you can start off small and grow from there. It's not that hard to learn. I mean, it's not like you're doing weird categories. You're getting points for tackles, points for interceptions, you know, yardage you can have after an interception return or a fumble return, you can count. Obviously, if they score a touchdown, it's 6 points. You get points for an assisted tackle, points for a tackle for loss. I mean, it's not that tough here. It's not like we're breaking anything. I think in this country, we hate change. And I guess the biggest part of problem here, we just hate change. We don't want to change. It took a while to go from standard to PPR, you know, and do that. I could tell you in my home league, I put it up for a vote because my home league, you know, it's a super flex league, but we use defense, we use kickers. I put both up for a vote to get rid of kickers and a flex, which could have been a tight end, wide receiver, running back, and to get rid of the defense and go with a IDP. Not even this year. We'll start next year. And both were voted down, horrifically. I think they were voted down before I hit submit. I think last I checked, it was 8-1 against in both. I hadn't voted yet, so it would have been 8-2. All right, so no one wants it. And it's surprising, especially the kickers part for me, because people have bitched in this league about the kickers and wanting to get rid of it. Yeah, I put it up for a vote, and everybody kills it. You know, so like I said, change is hard. I get it. But it really, I mean, I'll never understand why we ignore defensive players here. We don't ignore pitchers. We don't ignore goaltenders. We don't ignore the stats in basketball, but yet in football we do.
You know, it is an interesting point, right? And these guys are a big part of football. There's no debate on that front. You know, maybe some of these guys aren't as front and center as pitchers, right? When the pitcher is on the mound, he's isolated. It's just him, so you know who the pitcher is. And where football, the offense is splashier, so you're more likely to know, a team's third wide receiver than maybe who the nose tackle is. And I do think the one thing why you will find this to be an uphill battle, a long way to come. And I don't know if it ever really would come to the forefront. You mentioned whether, you know, it took a while for people to come around to PPR. Is it going to require more time and effort if you were to expand the player pool as much as you're kind of talking about? And I think everything you're saying makes complete sense. You know, more strategy, right? I think that's what people should want. You know, fantasy is meant to be a lot of strategy based here. It's not just some random game of chance. And, you know, you also could be, you want to be rewarded for your research where, you know, just drafting a team defense, it can be very volatile, it can be high variance. So you don't really know what is to come of it. But it is easier because now then people do have to start to figure out. And that's why, you know, you say kind of come along slow and start with one IDP, then go to maybe two IDP, three, and you work your way up. But you're going to always get that pushback where if you say, look, let's start slow, let's get one IDP. And someone's like, well, what's the point? If there's one IDP, we're in a standard 12-team league, 12 guys, like this is a complete waste of time. This is so incredibly simple where, you know, you might not even be really adding strategy because it's just, it is so easy. So that is where I think the IDP uphill battle it is. I think it is going to be a lot more difficult to get people on board with that than, say, banning kicker or explaining to someone the importance of two-quarterback league or super flex because of the required effort, at least how that is how I view it. And I don't know if you would disagree with that, but I think that it would require a lot more time as you do your draft prep up if you then add IDP, especially up to a number, which, again, you make a completely valid point as to why, it should be equivalent. But if you get up to that number, it's going to take a lot more time and effort, I think, for guys as they prepare for their draft.
Well, first off, I do agree with you. I think you've actually hit the nail on the head as far as why people don't play. I think, football is by far the most popular fantasy sport. It's not even remotely close. Baseball's not close. It's just the way it is because it's the one day a week. And, you're only drafting. It's a quicker draft. Generally, football is about 16 rounds, give or take, somewhere around there. Baseball is 28 to 30. And, yes, if you add IDPs and you do it right, you're going to come really close to baseball, probably around 25 rounds. So, and there'll be more work to do. You're absolutely correct. I'm probably, although I'd like it to be in more a majority of leagues, IDP is a full IDP. Is probably not meant for your family fun league. It's probably not. You're probably looking for more serious leagues. And I'm not talking about the biggest money leagues, but you're probably talking about serious players, not people who are just watching football on Sundays. You're probably going to want to pay more attention to that. I can't argue with that. I think that is true. I think it's a very valid point there that people play football because, hey, it's one day a week, Although you should be paying attention during the week, really all I got to do is set my lineups on Sunday morning. I know there are Thursday games, folks, but, for the most part, you got to spend 10 minutes. Set your lineup, make sure the players are active, you go in those family fun leagues. And if you add IDPs, it takes more work. I get that. And finding rankings for IDPs is not as easy as looking at ESPN or CBS, where you're just seeing the rankings. You go, hey, I'll print out a list, I'll go. You have to do a little bit more work for these guys. Also, there's no, obviously, since we don't play a lot of IDPs, there's no standard. And there isn't. Most IDP leagues that I play in, every league's different as far as the point award totals. The big one I play in, the IDPs are designed to be on equal footing with your number one picks, your Le'Veon Bells, your Todd Gurley's. They don't go in the first round because there are just more of those guys available than the running backs are, so they're still going to fall a couple of rounds later. But the point total is designed that at the end of the year, your top linebacker, Luke Kuechly, will have the same amount of points as a Le'Veon Bell. And this, once again, spreads out the player pool. So, and that's going to be hard for people to understand. I get all that. I just think, I like to make leagues more strategic. I really hate that I just got to say, wait till round 16 to draft your kicker. Wait for 15 to draft your defense. Quarterback, wait till round 9. In my mind, that's boring. If I'm automatically telling, don't even have to think about it. In regular leagues, standard leagues, if I don't even have to think about a question, then what's the point? I mean, come on. Let's make the leagues better here. I said, my favorite league is a Superflex, IDP. And although I think only the Scott Fishbowl is a league I play without kickers. I'd like to get rid of them too. Although I'd like to get rid of kickers, you won't see me on a soapbox for that. You want to keep kickers? Fine. I'm not going to argue with you. I think we should get rid of it. I think any other flex is better. But I have no problem with the kicker either. Mm-hmm. I don't probably make fun of it as much as I'll get mad when people ask kicker questions. I know some people actually, there's no way I can rank them. I get it. They're hard to rank because you don't know from week to week. But because of that, it's another position I'd like to get rid of. And move on. Add a flex. Add another tight end, another running back, another wide receiver. In my mind, that makes the game better. And that's all I'm trying to do is make the game better. Why we ignore IDPs, I have no idea. The second quarterback, I think, is almost a must. Quarterback is so... I understand when really fantasy first started coming around, we didn't really have... You were lucky to have 12 good quarterbacks. But now we have 20 that are fantasy-worthy here. You can make two good quarterbacks. And in a super flex, you don't even need a second quarterback. You just have the ability to use one if you wish. And I prefer a super flex over a two-quarterback league because this way, hey, Kevin Walsh got screwed. He lost his quarterback to injury. Well, he can still plug in a running back. We're in a two-quarterback league. If Kevin Walsh lost his quarterback, bye, Kevin. Start looking forward to hockey or basketball or baseball, whatever you want to play, because your football season is done. You can't survive with that. So a super flex league is fairer. As I said, just trying to make the game better, more fun. Those are leagues I prefer to play in. Although I admit, I still play in by far more, you know, one quarterback leagues than anything else.
It is so interesting. A part of the defense discussion is I like playing it week to week. That's why I enjoy daily fantasy so much. It's all incredibly interesting stuff. We may continue this a little bit and also talk about some best ball leagues as we wrap it up here on Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Ready to go. Loving the music there by Sean Engel. Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz. We're closing it out here on Fantasy Sports Today. It's going to be Fantasy Football Frenzy next. You get George Kurtz for another 2 hours alongside Corey Parsons. What could be better than that? George, you know, actually, I want to run something by you I'm going to see if I can set it up this year because it kind of goes in line with what we're talking about here. Where I don't love drafting a team defense for the season because it's all over the place, I think. But I do like the strategy of drafting team defense when we're talking about DFS because you see if you can find the value play. Maybe you do want to spend up, for what could be the top defense, a Jaguars week, a Vikings week. I enjoy that aspect of it. So something that I want to see if I can set up is a season-long league of DFS contests. Does that make sense?
A defense in DFS is completely different. Mm-hmm. I'm actually all on board because there is strategy. As you mentioned the strategy. Oh, do you pay up for the top defense? You're going for the Jaguars, who seem to score a plethora of points week in and week out last week, or are you going for the cheaper defense but the good matchup?
Mm-hmm.
So once again, that's what I like. I like strategy. You know, so yes, I think defense and DFS, like I said, are a completely different animal than defense in traditional year-long leagues.
What do you think of the idea of a season-long league of DFS contests? If you pick your preferred DFS site and you get into it, and you don't really have to have a cap then necessarily on how many people would join, you know, and you just everybody puts their lineups together, and you have your weekly payouts, and you can do a season long payout of whoever would score the most points between the, you know, you can play all 17 weeks because you'll know who's starting and who's sitting throughout. It was something I was discussing with my brother last year, just as we were going through the season. Sometimes these conversations come out of your full season long leagues getting ruined because, say, you drafted a David Johnson, you're done week one. But that's another reason why I'm kind of attracted to the idea where, you know, you're never out of it because of injury. If it's week nine and you are out of the season long running, well, that's because you stink. But you still have a number of other weeks to see if you can win 1 week, 2 week, and string something together where I think you've got a really good chance to keep everybody engaged for the full length of the fantasy season.
The greatest thing in my mind about DFS is the exact reason you just mentioned. If your year-long fantasy team sucks, you know, you're out of it, well, now you're not done. You can still play DFS, mm-hmm. still have a team, still go. It's in my home league. It's funny you should mention what you just said. In my home league, which is a points league, it's been going on. This is year 30. Our league runs where it's a money league. It's a heavy money league. It costs you $5 per week, and so you have to pay the 17 weeks. So it's going to cost you a minimum $85,
wow.
And it'll cost a lot more than that because everything costs money. Every transaction you make, money. If it's a trade, it's a dollar for each roster move you make. You get five roster moves for a dollar. Every roster move after that is $5. And people will make a ton of roster moves. So it ends up being about $200 per team. But what I bring up is half the money for that week goes into the pot for the end of the year. The other half, whoever has the most points for that week gets it.
Mm.
So we try and keep you interested all season long. So, you know, if Kevin scores 100 and whatever, 200 points or week one, more than anybody else, well, you're going to get half the pot. Generally, you know, you do the math, 12 teams, 5 times 12 is 60. So you're getting at least $30 plus whatever roster. So let's just say for giggles, it's $40. Sounds like nothing, but, you know, you win 3-4 weeks, all of a sudden you got 160, almost pays for your league fee. You know, so it keeps people interested all year long. That's how we run that. And so it's always been that way. You know, and as far along those lines, another way that I've tried to keep people interested all year long, because I hate it in all leagues, where in week 8, guys aren't setting lineups anymore. Because they don't care, they're out of it, they start or whatever, and points league, you're 300 points behind, you have no chance of winning, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just don't care. You know, another way I try and eliminate that is we determine our draft order by the way you finish. I mean, it's not the way you think. It's not like if you finish last, you get the first pick. No, we don't do that. 12-team league, top 3 get paid. Now, if you finish first, you're picking last. You finish second, you're picking second to last. You finish third, you're picking third to last. Because you got paid, you finished in the money, you're getting the last 3 slots. Now, the way Isla always looked at it is the team that finished fourth, I call that the FU position. Yeah, I would use the words normally, but I call it the FU position because you finished fourth, you made no money, and you probably spent a truckload on those roster moves, those $5 roster moves. And you probably owe the most in the league because you were trying, didn't work out for you. So listen, nothing I can do about that, but you get rewarded with the first overall pick. If you finish fifth, second overall pick. And it goes on and on like that. So that it forces people to try and move up in the standings all through the season to get a better draft pick. I'm not saying it's perfect. You know, it's not. There's still people who don't, you know, they don't care if they draft eighth or sixth. So they still, you know, fall apart at the end. But it's the best thing we've come up with so far. Between that and the money for winning the week, that seems to keep people interested longer.
Yeah, and I understand that. You know, sometimes you're in a league and it's just not a seed race and people are done by week 3. And it's like, why'd you even bother? And that's why people try to raise the entry fees to try and keep people invested. But look, if I lose David Johnson week 1, I'm probably shot. That's just how that goes. You know what I mean? So I can kind of understand it. But that is why I am so drawn to DFS and things like that. Because every single week, and I mean, that is the thing. Like, you... If there's like, oh man, I really want to play this guy this week. Like, I think this guy's going to be a big sleeper, right? Like, that's where you get to go and do it. And if you've got that value, like, that's where that gets exciting. So that's going to see if I can. Because one thing I've mentioned that to people is the thing about DFS. It's like, yeah, but then you don't get the interaction as much. The banter week to week. Like, you like that head to head. I'm like, well, what if everybody is competing against everybody every single week? And it is still, you know, a group of friends, and it's not randoms, because sometimes that can take the fun out of it. You know, you join the big money things within, you know, on a FanDuel or DraftKings, whatever it may be. And you don't know who you're competing against. You're just kind of seeing how your roster plays out. But when you have, you know, if you can get something going, 16, and that's the thing as well. Now you can have as many as you'd like. If it's 30 people deep, it doesn't impact your roster. You have whoever the heck you want. So that's going to be something I can see if I can piece together this year. Georgia, I want to ask you about a couple of guys that I've found myself owning a lot within best ball to this point. Through 22 drafts, that's where I'm at this point. You know, and I told you earlier in the show, it's varied. 12-team leagues, 10 teams, you know, sometimes as low as 4-team leagues. It's varied. But these are kind of the guys that I've found myself drafting on a pretty consistent basis, and I just kind of want to get your reaction if I should feel good about that, especially in terms of considering value for some of these players. So I'll start with someone that I mentioned earlier in the show, because he is the running back that I have the most shares of, and it's Chris Thompson. I've got him on 8 leagues, and all of these drafts took place before the Geis injury, so it's not some massive overcompensation for Geis going out. I think this is more so of all of the pass-catching running backs. He's someone that I've been excited by. But it does seem like it's kind of up and down. He should get the uptick from Geis, but you mentioned it before, those comments where he himself is doubting it. Not great. So how should I feel about having that much of Chris Thompson?
Well, if you had any doubts before, you got to be feeling even better now, mm-hmm. right now that Geis is out. The only thing I had negative about Thompson was the comments. That surprised me some because the reports were he looked good in camp. And then the comment came out after that. It's like, what? Who? You know, because reports weren't from Gruden. I'm fully aware when a coach's lips move, he's probably lying. He's not telling you the truth, though, most of the time out here. This was reports from reporters that Thompson looked fine. And then he comes up and says that. You know, I wonder if this was with Thompson a case of where he needs to take a hit. He needs to get hit, really hit, in a game. You know, not by his teammates who are maybe taking a little easier. Maybe he needs to get hit in the game to really feel good about his leg. I don't know where you drafted him, but I wouldn't have much of a problem drafting Thompson. Mm-hmm. I like all these guys. I'm not really someone who negates a Thompson, a Tariq Cohen, a Giovanni Bernard, because they're not the starting running back.
Yeah.
Like they all have in PPR leagues, they all have value. So I like them. I have no problem with Thompson, and the Darius Geis injury only helps him.
So another guy that I actually have a decent bit about, and I think a lot of my shares in this player came in a close-together span, and nothing's necessarily changed to where I'm still okay with it. I haven't spent a high pick. It's Chris Carson, the Seahawks running back. Look, here's the thing. I know where they drafted Rashad Penny, but Carson still, at the moment, is the first running back on their depth chart, and you're getting him at an incredible value. I have 6 shares of him. Do you think it's a bit of a waste? I know you'll probably say that there's no such thing as a waste, but do you see any upside for Chris Carson, or do you fully expect Penny to completely pull away and take that job?
Well, you know me too well. You're right. There's no such thing as a waste when it comes to a running back. If he has a pulse, he has value when it comes to running backs. That being said, I'll probably have no shares of Chris Carson for really a lot of reasons here. I do think Penny takes over that job eventually, or at least has some kind of share of it. I'm worried about the defense being – there's no more Legion of Boom there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that defense is not – really, nowhere near what it used to be. I'm not even sure it's going to be an average defense, which means they're going to be trailing in more games, going to have to throw the ball more. That's going to hurt Carson because Procise could be in there more often to catch the ball. The offensive line is still, I'll call it a work in progress just to be nice, but it has some issues there. So I have too many, you said 6 teams. I don't mind 1 or 2 because, listen, you're playing a whole bunch of leagues, you're going to have some of everybody.
Right.
But 6 teams seems to be a little excessive to me. Now, granted, if he hits, you'll be in heaven there. But yeah. 6 seems to be a little excessive to me, unless you're playing in about 60 of these leagues.
Yeah, he was someone that as I was kind of putting it all together. I was like, again? Oh, it's like, and a lot of it came in a very close proximity. Where it's not like I was spending any type of high draft pick on him, but it was just. Maybe he's a starter. Look at all these other guys look useless. I'll just keep adding Chris Carson, and who knows? I mean, we'll see. Maybe that does pan out. I've also got 6 shares of C.J. Anderson, and he's someone that I was trying to talk Mike into. I think it was yesterday, last weekend. They're all sometimes just blends together. But really, my point on C.J. Anderson is where you look where he is going. The guys around him, it's a lot of these pass-catching backs, guys who are clearly not going to lead their team in carries, where I feel very confident that C.J. Anderson leads his team in carries because last year Jonathan Stewart led them in carries by about 40-plus total, and C.J. Anderson's a much better running back than Jonathan Stewart, and I feel like I am getting a pretty darn good value on C.J. Anderson. So how do you feel about him?
I actually have nothing to add.
Wonderful.
What you said, I think, is 100% correct. He's a better back than Jonathan Stewart was with Carolina. Not that he's a better back than Jonathan Stewart. I'm saying at this point in their careers and with a team, he's a better back than Jonathan Stewart. I like C.J. Anderson a whole bunch. As for everything you mentioned, Christian McCaffrey is not rushing in touchdowns from inside the 5. He'll need to catch those 12-yard passes. It's what he does. Yes, Cam Newton will steal touchdowns. We know this. You know, but you're not drafting C.J. Anderson in the first 5 rounds. He's a later running back, someone, a flex play, a guy that covers your buys, I have no problem with CJ Anderson.
So I want to just move to the tight ends. I've ended up on auto draft a few times. And would you believe that I have multiple, not just one, multiple shares of Jason Witten?
I don't think that's going to work out well for you.
I'm going to be honest, George. I agree. I don't see the numbers there.
I could be wrong here. Maybe he can miss it. Maybe he's not going to announce the Monday night game. He's just going to play in it instead. But I'm not liking your chances there.
Yeah. I'm very, very frustrated by that. But it's just how it kind of panned out. Sometimes the auto draft monster will get you. Now, the two guys that I have the most, seven shares each, are Jack Doyle and Jimmy Graham. At their current value, would you be more excited about having seven shares of Jack Doyle or seven shares of Jimmy Graham?
Well, I don't have a problem with either one. I said at value, Jack Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of what you and I talked about earlier. Who else is catching the ball there other than Hilton?
For sure.
Anyone? I mean, you said something funny earlier that I don't know how the exact way you phrased it, but the average fan couldn't even name a top three.
Yeah.
Fan? The average analyst can't name a top three. I can only name two. Eventually, I got the third. I remember Chester Rogers. But once Kane went down, I knew Ryan Grant, of course. But I like, oh, I don't know, number three? Oh, Rogers, yeah. No one knows. This is why Dez Bryant is such a good fit there. So Jack Doyle right now, I think, is a very good pick. PPR, like I said, who else is he throwing to? Even if you want to say they're going to use a two tight end system and Eric Ebron, fine. I don't care. It's not going to stop the targets to Doyle. And Luck like throwing to Doyle, like throwing to him a lot in the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Jack Doyle really could end up, if they don't make other additions, he might end up 100 target tight end. And if that ends up being the case, he's currently one of the biggest steals in all of fantasy football. Really, the only thing that you could even say is, oh, well, Eric Ebron's there. But I think he's comfortably in front of a guy like Eric Ebron. Someone that I do actually have more shares than I thought I would have in terms of the tight end position is Hayden Hurst. I've got him on three different teams. And that is depth when I'm drafting in a best ball. But he is someone that we've seen you so far. They've played two preseason games. He's going to be their starting tight end. Do you think Hayden Hurst is going to be a guy that now starts to get drafted consistently?
Probably not, because he's still not a tight end one. That being said, I do think he has value because Flacco will use the tight end, think right. Dennis Pitta. He'll be a touchdown guy, though. So he's going to be those weeks where if he doesn't catch a touchdown, not going to do much for you. Because he'll be four catches, 40 yards, whatever it is. He'll take your 8 points and run. But when he catches that touchdown, now you're talking 15, 16 points. That's what you're looking for there. Baltimore isn't as a whole is weird. Because, I'm not going to go back over the quarterback situation, but it's a revamped wide receiver core, brand new. So we don't know how any of this is going to work. This is all this team trying to work together now with chemistry, with Flacco. But once again, it's what I like to say. Tight end is generally a quarterback's best friend. Hurst is going to be good, a good one. I think Flacco uses him.
I'm kind of glad that we are out of time here, because now I don't have to disappoint you by letting you know that I have Josh Gordon on eight different teams, because I know you're... I know that that's too many, and I'm even.
Oh my God! The guy I'm talking to next loves Josh Gordon. Even he's given up a little bit this year.
That is going to do it for us here on Fantasy Sports Today. Keep it on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Football Frenzy is next. See you guys next weekend.